This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Well, the first round of the NBA draft came and went. And the Nuggets drafted... Nobody. And the Nuggets traded that pick for nobody. Just second round pick and future picks. Day's not over. Draft's not over. Still moves to be made. But so far, the Nuggets seem to be officially running it back. We're going to get into that today. Short show today. Keeling Me Softly. Sean Keeler of the Denver Post will join us. The whole show starts right now. Wednesday, but I do have some good news. Joker, I saw him getting up shots the other day, not like those shots, but actually hoop shots, and fit as a fiddle. He looks like he did when he was preparing to get his very first MVP. Trimmed down, ready to go. So there's the good news, Michael. You ready for bad news?
I still want to be Nuggets forever.
Thank you, Joker. If he leaves, Mike. Again, negative Wednesday. Hooligans, cheer me up. I had a lot of fun yesterday talking about the Sorsby stuff, but I'm a little bummed out that the Nuggets didn't do anything. I'm not looking for a player. I was looking for... I kind of like the idea of you're trading away Zeke Nagy, and to do that, you had to throw out your 26th pick. Instead, the Nuggets traded their 26th pick to the San Antonio Spurs for a... second round pick for the number 35 pick. Also, two additional future second round picks. And now the Nuggets have a 2028 Minnesota second round pick and a 2031 Sacramento second rounder, according to league sources. And the Spurs, with that pick, selected a big man, and that's Terrace Reed Jr. Now, in fairness, a lot of the guys I liked for the Nuggets all were selected before pick number 26, and one of those guys was Zubi Ejiofor, the forward out of St. Joseph. He was selected at 23. So, in fairness, I guess Joshua Jefferson was there, the forward out of ISU, but it's not like I looked at this draft and said, oh, there's a guy you have to have at number 26. But trading it away and not dumping some salary... That was a little front. That's what I was looking forward to. And that also is a depressing state of affairs, isn't it? My biggest wish for the Nuggets in the draft was to use that to package a salary dump. That's where we are. So the poll question of the day is simple. And maybe it's because I'm in a negative mood, Mike. Has the championship window closed for the Denver Nuggets? As we talk today, I know things can change. I'm already getting people commenting saying, well, no, and well, they got, if they make this move and that move. I'm not asking about ifs. I'm asking you right now, has the Nuggets championship window closed for the time being?
I should be asking you that. Do you not want to answer because you're having such a sad day?
Today, it feels closed. It's not a sad day. Just a negative day.
I mean, like most of your days. I'm feeling positive, so maybe it's
yeah.
My
what's
fault.
With the role reversal? Normally, you're the negative Nancy back there. Give me something positive, Mike. It's a short show today.
Well,
that
the
sucks,
NHL draft is in 1 day, 12 hours, 50 minutes, and 9 seconds.
Oh, good. The Avs will probably trade that away and not do anything to build for the future.
Yeah, I wonder if the Broncos started like a year of really boring drafts.
Well, when you're good and you're in the, you know, you're good but you're not great. Like, You're thrilled. That's the Nuggets and that's the Avs. Sorry, Mike. That's the Avs.
The Avs are great. They just like
the Broncos
choke in
too.
The playoffs.
That's the Broncos too. When you're good, not great, it's tough. Because when you're great, you win. And when you're drafting with the last pick in the draft, it's like, it doesn't matter. We're champions. But when you're drafting with the fourth to fifth last pick in the draft, it's like, yeah, we're not quite there. Mike, in the NBA, there's a pretty significant difference. And that's changed over the years, especially with the aprons. But in the NBA, there's a pretty big difference, a pretty significant difference between being the best team in the NBA and being the fifth best team in the NBA. That's a tough spot to be. And I'm not going to do it today, but that's why when we talk about tanking, that's why. That's why it's the thing. Because being a first-round playoff team, being a playoff team is neat. It's neato. But there is a pretty large difference in being a playoff team and actually being a championship contender. Did I feel like the Nuggets were ever going to win a championship last year? I think there were moments I felt that way. But the injuries were enough to concern me about seeing this team put it all together by the time the postseason started.
I mean, a lot of those players, when they came back, they were not the same, right? So I actually feel less negative about that than you do. I think I am a very injury conscious person. So like I will forgive a team for having a bad season if they have bad injuries.
But what if they lose to a team that had worse injuries?
Well, the Nuggets, I'm going to play devil's advocate here. The Nuggets were not the same after their injuries. It's like none of them fully recovered. And I think that's probably your biggest problem there.
It is a significant thing. I mean, Aaron Gordon was a beast in that championship run. You don't win a title without him. And since then, he has had a hard time staying on the floor. And if you don't, there's a reason there's a regular season. Like, the regular season is all about preparing for the postseason. If you're a good team and it's basically a guarantee that you're going to be a playoff team, it's all about preparation. And whether that's making sure your body's right, team chemistry, all of that. And unfortunately, we just haven't been able to see that. We weren't able to see this. I mean, this time last year, I think it was once the Nuggets hired Tenzer and Wallace, it was like, what are they doing? They got two GMs. But then they started making moves. And then they traded Michael Porter Jr., which is a move they needed to make. And then Tim Hardaway Jr. And then Bruce Brown, Cam Johnson, Jonas Valanciunas. All of that looked pretty good on paper last year. And you thought, this team's deep. That's what they needed was depth. They can't just rely on Joker, Murray, Gordon, and MPJ and ride those guys to another title. It's not going to work. OKC proved that. So it looked like Denver was putting something similar together. And then, unfortunately, Joker goes down. He never goes down. Joker goes down for almost a month. Peyton Watson surges, becomes a household name. Goes down. Aaron Gordon, back and forth, hurt. Christian Brown also never gets hurt. Dating back to his high school days, doesn't get hurt. He goes down. Still has a bad season before and after the injuries. So this depth, we never really got to see what the depth could do because we were relying on the depth to take over for a lot of where the starters were missing out.
And it's tough in that aspect because the bench was supposed to be so deep, but there's obviously a difference between the top of the top, you know, Jokic, then the rest of the starters, then the bench, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I think injuries are a good excuse. Like, I know everybody says that's an excuse, but
they're not a good excuse if other teams are finding a way. Minnesota was more depleted than Denver, knocked them out of the playoffs. Minnesota's so pissed off, they're trading away top guys now today. because they weren't satisfied with just beating Denver. Three years ago, it was about beating Denver, because that's what you do. You try to beat your rival or the championship team. You're trying to copycat what they do. Well, that's what Minnesota did. Well, not necessarily copycat, but you build your team in a way that stops their team. Joker's tearing you up. Get bigger bodies in the paint. Slow him down. Or Joker's passing all over the place. Get really handsy, defensive-minded guards and forwards that can shut stuff down and exhaust Joker's assets out there. And that's what Minnesota did.
They still injured Joker, though. It was not... He was not the same when he came back. He was still elite, but I just feel like people, and again, maybe it's me making excuses that I do believe are good excuses, but people are really hard on the Nuggets, and I'm saying this was kind of an outlier of a year.
The Nuggets, you're right about that. This is interesting. This is interesting. Is this legit? I don't know. But the Jaylen Brown thing is there's some movement there, and I think Shams saying the Nuggets might be a player there. I'm trying to find this because I'm getting texts on it and I have not confirmed that. So we'll see. But that's interesting. Jamal Murray straight up. I don't know. Here's where I am today, Mike, and I might change by Friday. I'm saying it right now. You got to trade Jamal Murray. It's time to trade Jamal Murray. Now, his stock has never been higher because he finally made an all-star game or an all-star team. I'm just not comfortable, and I don't think Josh Kroenke's comfortable. Viral video last night of Nuggets brass in their war room. After the trade to the Spurs for that pick, they're cheering. Josh Kroenke does a little half clap and then looks at everybody. It's silent video, but he looks at everybody and goes, "What are we doing?" You could see him put his hands out like, "Why are you clapping?" You know what it reminded me of? The movie Moneyball? When Billy Bean walks in and...
Great scene.
They're dancing after a loss. They're all dancing in the clubhouse. And Billy Bean, Brad Pitt says, "Why are you celebrating? You lost." And he smashes the boombox with the bat, and it gets quiet. And he goes, "That's what losing sounds like." That's what that reminded me of with Kroenke last night. They're clapping, and he's like, "Why are we clapping? We're in a weird position to even have to make that move. This is not a good day."
I mean, are the 3 second round draft picks really worth it?
No, unless you're packaging those up to box up with a player you're trying to remove. And that's what the fact that we're talking about that today, Mike, is what's frustrating me. We're talking about clearing cap space so you can re-sign a guy we think is going to be good.
This sounds like, and maybe I'm out of line, but this sounds like the Nuggets are just capitulating and saying,
Well, they have to. I mean, honestly, I don't blame necessarily the Nuggets for their inactivity when we're seeing trades and stuff happen like crazy in the NBA. I don't necessarily blame them because they don't have a ton of obvious assets to trade. Michael, you could go down the roster. And I'll give you a reason why that's a guy I wouldn't trade for, except for Joker, which is the only guy that's untouchable. Jamal Murray. Here's me, GM of random team. Do I want Jamal Murray? I haven't seen him play without Nikola Jokic. Is he a creator on his own, or does he rely on Joker? Now, that's a lot, and I've seen him play well without Joker on the floor, but if that's certainly one of my reservations. Aaron Gordon, 30 years old. Has hamstring and calf issues. The last 3 years, he's missed a lot of games. I don't have any assurance that he's going to be able to be a full go or in the postseason. Cam Johnson was kind of a head case at the beginning of the season. Got hurt. Then he was better. But is he inconsistent? Zeke Nagy? I'm paying $9 million for that dude? Christian Brown, you just signed him to a massive deal to be a semi-role player. Julian Strother, who? I mean, Jalen Pickett, who? Again, I know, but if I'm a GM of a team, I'm not looking at the Nuggets as a hot spot or a hotbed of assets that I think can get me over the top. I would be curious to see what Jamal. Listen, I'm going to be a fan of Jamal Murray, whether he's in a Denver Nuggets uniform or not. I have been critical of him, probably more critical of Jamal Murray than anybody in the state. But that's because my expectations of him have always been super high. And whether he's a Nugget for life or he goes somewhere else, I'll always root for that guy. Now, it will be tough if he does become that guy. He's 29, though. He's 29. When do we stop saying, can he become that guy? We probably should stop saying it.
I mean, when did he come in the league?
Same a year before Joker?
Yeah, then you have to stop saying that.
He was drafted in 2016. He's been in the league for 10 years.
Yeah, you can't say, is he going to be that guy?
He's good.
What we have proof-wise is he is what he is now.
He's good.
Will he turn it around and suddenly get hot?
Eh.
Rare occasion.
He was good in the regular season last year, and that was his best season. And what was he known for, Mike? Playoff Murray. And he was bad in the playoffs. In there. Six games that they played. Faith says Valanciunas isn't guaranteed next year, and they need a guy to give Joker some rest, and if he gets in foul trouble. Faith, I thought it was a decent pick, too, who they picked up. He was a great college player. Will be interesting to see what they do today. Well, and keep in mind, like, they already made that trade with the Spurs. Like, the way these go down is it's not like, hey, we picked him. Do you want him? It's we made the trade. Who do you want us to pick, San Antonio? Like that's how the NBA, that's how it works. We already made the trade, and then we'll pick Terrace Reed Jr. out of Connecticut for you. That's where we'll go. And the Valanciunas news that we hit yesterday, Mike. He wants gone. He wanted gone last year. He wanted to go play where in Greece. It took some convincing to get him to honor his contract, which was a 2-year deal. Now, that does free up cap space. Jonas is due $10 million in 26-27. So if you can move off of Zeke Nagy, who's not a player, like, it's not going to work. If you can move off of him and then Jonas is gone, you let him out of his contract, that's $20 million right there. That's $18 million. Peyton Watson's still probably a 24-25 guy. So you still got work to do. And you could re-sign Peyton Watson and still stay out of the apron. And that would be your victory? Did you do anything really to move the needle? Or are you relying on guys to grow? Are you relying on Peyton Watson to be the next big thing? Shams did say that the Nuggets are a potential suitor for Jaylen Brown. That doesn't mean what Nuggets fans think it means. A potential suitor could mean a lot. That could mean Tenzer and Walls literally picked up the phone and said, you guys interested in trading Jaylen Brown? Yeah, we are. Great. Good to know. I'll be in touch. Suddenly the Nuggets become a potential suitor. That's how that works. 24 minutes after the hour. Keeling Me Softly with Sean Keeler of the Denver Post. Going to join us at the bottom of the hour today. We've only got an hour left because we're sending it over to the Rockies for the rubber match. Lost last night. Get the dub today. Our boy Tanner's there. He's sitting behind the home plate. We'll look out for him. We'll be right back.
Two teams, no parades.
No!
What's next for the Nuggets and the Avalanche this offseason? Keep it on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA for the latest.
Hey, this is Sean Keeler of the Denver Post. You're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Together we stand, divided we fall.
I can think of when this song plays is, and a lot of people go to Remember the Titans, I go to Forrest Gump. This was the, when was this? This was the song playing during the New Year's when they, when Forrest and Lieutenant Dan have their dates.
Right, I haven't seen that move in a while, but I love the original score by Alan Silvestri.
I don't, no one knows what an Alvin Sylvester Stallone is. Nobody knows what that is.
He wrote the Avengers theme.
Great.
Also, the Back to the Future. He did those three movies.
Good job.
Just saying.
Good job. Proud of Albert. Good job by him. Anyway, baseball plans for you. Fort Collins Foxes. You guys got to check them out. We've had a great conversations. You've heard great conversations on Coach Speak with Bruce Dick. You guys, it's family friendly, man. I know everybody says that, but you seriously, just don't take my word for it. Check them out. Go online, fortcollinsfoxes.com, for ticket and team information. You're going to want to check this out. Excellent players. These are all conference Division I players playing right here in our own Northern Colorado backyard. That's fortcollinsfoxes.com. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Coming up next, we're going to have Sean Keeler, Keeling Me Softly. He had some interesting stuff this week. His story today, he's talking about Dick Monfort. He's talking about earlier this week, he did a Buff story. The headline was, he talked to Darian Hagan, and Darian Hagan says, hey, we want folks to know that the Colorado Buffs football existed, thrived before Deion Sanders. Is that so wrong? We'll get to that conversation coming up next. But first, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally, like growing up with a bank you can count on, like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling, like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Warren Jackson, former CSU wide receiver, and you're listening to The Whole Show on KFK.
Some call him genius, legend, ladies' man. The best to ever observe the game. We want to keep him humble, so we call him Sean. This is Keeling Me Softly with Denver Post columnist Sean Keeler.
Are you telling me we just lied to the public?
Well, was talking to him, yeah. About to put him on hold.
He's
and
on
then
vacation,
gone.
To be fair. Where is he?
I'm trying
Where
to call him
he?
Back.
I can't give the location of where he is because Sean's, you know, some people love him, some people opposite that. We can't tell you where he is right now, but he's on vacation. But he's willing to talk to us on vacay time, or at least he told us he was. And I want to talk to him.
3 minutes.
I have some things to talk to him about. He's got a lot of stuff. This article today, Dick Monfort's World Cup cash grab is straight out of FIFA's greedy playbook. Decision to charge $23 for admission for U.S.-Mexico World Cup match watch parties is a loss for Denver, Denver families and Colorado soccer fans, but win for bar owners who want additional footy traffic. Also this one, I love this piece. Headline, Buffs legend Darian Hagan wants people to know CU football existed before Deion Sanders. Is that so wrong? Sean Keeler joining me now, Keeling Me Softly. Sean, my friend, you've been busy on vacation week. What's going on with you, man? Do you ever stop?
It's funny. What are you, my wife?
You got to take a break, Sean.
You love the anecdotes. By the way, she's over my shoulder right here driving.
Oh, sorry. I was not trying to sound like her. I've never met her. I'm sure she's lovely, but that was my example.
Yeah. Let's put it this way. I look like Peter Griffin. She looks like Lois.
I look like Lois.
What's that? I don't. She doesn't look like Lois.
She doesn't want to look like Lois?
We got Stewie in the back. We got the whole... Yeah, you're more of a Chris Griffin. That's great. She literally this morning, I said, well, I'm going to do the whole show. I got to do my whole show drop. And she goes, and I said, I'm doing something else later. And she goes, I thought we were on vacation.
But you know, and she's got to know this now, the Keeling Me Softly segment never sleeps. It can't take a week off, Sean.
He says, Brady says it never sleeps, hon.
It never sleeps.
Never sleeps.
It never sleeps.
Neither do I. I slept pretty well last night. But we are alive about 2 miles outside of Glenwood Springs in the middle of a canyon at some rest area we pulled over just for you here. I don't know where we are exactly, but or even really what your question was. Yes,
I don't even know if I had one.
You said, boy, you've been busy, and so here we are. But yeah, we're a little less busy today.
I'm surprised you kind of gave your location right now because, you know, anytime, Sean, you step in and start writing stuff about Coach Prime and the Buffs, you get a lot of very interesting responses to that.
The bots have been – I wanted to give the bots some work. You know, they hadn't had a chance to come at me for a while, and then all the Dion bots come out and start firing on you. So I had to laugh Sunday when I read some of that. I see them all. Twitter is a heck of a thing. X, whatever the heck we're calling it now. The mute function is a powerful tool. And I like to joke that I'm sure, if I've muted the 55,000 Buffs fans, I'm sure, they've done the same to me. So no, I just was, you know, I had actually been calling some CU alumni off and on. And again, some are friends still, and said, how are things with the school? And Darian happened to be one of them. And I literally talked to him a couple days prior to writing that late last week where I'm like, how you been? And just checking in. And he just mentioned to me off, like, unsolicited. Yeah. I was in town in the spring and I met with Fernando Lobo, and he was great. And he said the Lobo was great. And that the new administration at CU was great to him. And so that was great. It was a positive thing. I don't know why people get so upset about one of the greatest quarterback in team history feeling good about the program again.
Well, yeah, I mean, and if you actually read through it, there's plenty of that too.
Yeah.
But you know, Sean, there is a sense, and I think as you know this more than anybody with alumni, there is a sense of like, hey, we're retiring numbers a second after they are done playing, and we're not really appreciating the history around Colorado that existed well before Coach Prime. And there is that sense from a lot of alumni, but also Buffs fans. I mean, there is – sometimes there's like a dividing line between old-school Buffs fans that can actually be logical and talk about their coach's shortcomings, but also there's the other side of that where it's – Coach Prime could do no wrong.
Right. There's Dion. Well, to your second point, there are two camps, and we've talked about this a little on air, but and this was the point of the column, really, is one of Lobo's challenges, Fernando Lobo, the new CUAD, very bright, young, capable administrator. I've not heard a bad word about him. I'm sure he's heard a lot of bad words about me. I'm sure he's heard paragraphs and whole chapters that are bad about me, but you know, a very promising hire, replacement for Rick George. But you have two camps in Buffs fandom right now, and you have two Venn diagrams, and they intersect mostly, but not entirely, and that they are Buffs for life, and they older people, me and older, old farts like me, and they've seen the highs and the lows and lifted the lows, and then you have Dion stands, and you have this giant Prime hype machine that isn't as many people as you would think, but by God, are they loud. They are so loud and so proud and so angry. They're just – Deion Sanders fans are angry at everything and everyone.
Right.
And so, like their high priest of greatness, have to puff their chests and cry the hardest when they feel wronged and cheer louder for – any victory, however small. And one, that's annoying. Let's just be blunt about that one. And even Buffs on Buffs, even old Buffs football alums find it annoying, one. Two, and this is frankly, and we have talked about this, and this is a year old, granted, and you are, Keeler, you are picking at an old scab, but the jersey retirement thing was not good. Now, let's be clear on this. What wasn't good about it wasn't the principle. Yeah, Travis Hunter is going to be and should be memorialized for eternity. at that place. Yes, doing it right away and throwing Shadur on there as a, well, he threw him the touchdown passes, wink. That still and should rubs both some Buffs fans, and there's the divide of where the Venn diagram doesn't land with the lifetime Buffs for life. I shouldn't use that term because that's an actual charity. Lifetime Buffs camp, you know what I mean. Lifetime Buffs camp and Dion camp do not see eye to eye on that, and pretty vocally, rightfully, don't see eye to eye on that, given that Darian Hagan's not retired, Cordell Stewart's not retired, Charles Johnson's not retired, on down the line, just quarterbacks, and weighing that versus Shadur. And just the defensiveness then of the then Deion going, well, that this the reason you guys are upset is because your system is screwed up and none of these people should have had to wait to get retired and I'm going to fix the system. Of which then someone like Darian Hagan says, well, great, when am I going up? No, he doesn't.
Right,
he doesn't say
right.
That.
Still hasn't happened.
But his peers, he wouldn't say that because that's not DH. But his peers go, well, okay, the next year we're putting Hagan and Cordell up, right? And we're still waiting. Now, I think those things are going to happen. Now, how quickly that's going to happen, I don't know. But when it doesn't happen, here's what happens a year later. When you say, well, that's just because we're gonna fix the system, and so we'll get more former Buffs up there. And then it doesn't happen. And again, I think it will. But when it doesn't happen a year later, you're just going to sit there and go, oh, this really was about putting your name on the building, wasn't it? This really was about putting your kid up on the building, wasn't it? And that doesn't sit well, and that shouldn't sit well with any CU fan.
Well, and you know, again, for that crowd that's saying, hey, it's not Coach Prime's fault that the CU system wasn't honoring their guys in the past.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
Yes and no, I guess, for Coach Prime to say, hey, I'm going to retire two dudes that barely got out of school, and then we're going to put their names up there. And again, I agree with you 100% on Travis Hunter. Shadur,
yeah,
he's a
yeah.
good player. I'm not going to say one of the greats overall.
Right. Right.
It should have been on, if I'm the head coach, to say, hey, I want to retire those guys. But I also need to think about the history here. What's it going to take to get these guys honored? And then in due time, we can honor Travis Hunter and Shadur Sanders. That should have been
yep.
the process here.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. No, you're exactly right. Or as Lewis said, let's speed this up, or let's announce that we're going to speed this up with the intent of getting my best guys on. Which, again, obviously with Travis, there's no debate. And even the alumni, there's absolutely no discussion of that. It should happen and did happen. And then, you know, would you consider, you know, the best in Shadur is the best passing quarterback we've ever had. Look at these records. Should we do that too? Sure. Yeah, I think it's just the timing. Let's just be blunt. It was just the timing. It wasn't the principle of the thing. It wasn't the act itself. It just looked petty. And it just does more so. And I think that those have been scars that have been left. And I did want to check in on where those scars were and talk to three former Buffs who are pretty good guys and have pretty good legacies at the school and had their say. It wasn't really mine. It was theirs. And the good news, again, back to that, is they think that Lobo is going to open up some of those bridges again and rebuild some of those things, and they're looking forward to that. And they welcome that outreach, and they should, because, yes, and there's the divide again to the point you made. There is the principle of Prime fans only see 2023 CU football, 2022 CU football, and say, you were dead, you stink. Yeah, it was a bad decade, but there was a lot of good for a generation prior to that, and I think that needs to be honored, and that needs to not be forgotten ever, and I think that's where I think Lovo wants to get on that page.
Yeah, it does sound like Lovo's, hey, I'm certainly going to, you know, protect my guy, back my guy, but I do want to hear these past players and these other fans, because we don't want it to make it look like, you know, CU started 3 or 4 years ago. You know, we created a school.
Right. BC and AD before P, before Prime, and AP after Prime. There was a nice before Prime. But it's been a bad decade. Look, hey, let's also be blunt. The Pac-12 era stunk. It sucked. That was some, with the exception of 2016, there's a lot more bad than good. They screwed up. we can't take that back. In the annals of CU football history, that was a pretty decent marriage for the academics and for Olympic sport, certainly for men's basketball. It was an amazing decade plus for men's basketball, and that's not to invite a segue to other news of the day.
It was
terrible for football. It was an awful football move, and they're getting it back. And hiring Deion Sanders, at the same time I say these things, and Mr. Bashing Keeler, was a good move for the PR and getting on TV again and things they needed to get back. Hiring Deion Sanders was a fantastic PR program-saving kind of move, or program-relifting kind of move. And now you've got to do something with it. And as we've talked about, that's the challenge.
Yeah. Sean, hey, man, always appreciate you. Appreciate the family for letting you do this for a moment.
They left me in the car.
I figured.
You know, taking pictures, just waving at me like, no, take your time. In fact, hot car, we hope you die. We hope you don't come back.
Crack the window.
I'm the fat kid they leave in the car. I'm that kid. Hot summer day.
I just hope they crack the window for you, Sean. That's never, all, you know.
Never. They just want me to go.
All right, go cool off, man. Take a dip in the river, man. Something like that. Should
we're
be
right
fun.
Right by the Colorado River. It's beautiful.
Oh, man. Well, enjoy yourself, and we'll look to catch up with you next week.
All right. Talk soon.
All right, man.
Bye-bye.
Sean Keeler, Keeling Me Softly. On his vacation, Michael. On his vacation, he does the whole show. The whole show doesn't wait. Waits for no man. Waits for no man, Michael.
I did say to him off the air, how dare he go on vacation and not like during the whole show. Like, you should go on vacation 6 days, but not when the whole
show.
Not
on Wednesday.
On.
You're not allowed to go out on Wednesday. That's
the
rule.
Yeah, I mean, this Wednesday is like a holiday.
Yeah, Faith did say, did you see Celtics' Derek White was named president of basketball strategy at CU? I did see that, but he's still going to play, right? Like, that's not – he's not retiring or anything. I thought that was really interesting, that whole story. So I want to get to some of that later on in the show. Also, we got the top stories of the day. And then what did we learn? Because we're wrapping up at 12:30 today. It's the whole show. We'll be right back.
Win tickets to the Greeley Stampede right here, thanks to Interior Sprinkler Systems. Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Cody Tucker with 7220sports.com, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Well, speaking of a couple tickets, that is Dierks Bentley, who's going to be playing at the Greeley Stampede Friday, July 3rd at 8 o'clock, Michael. And guess what I have in my hot little hand here?
Do you have tickets to give away?
I have tickets to give away to see Dierks Bentley next Friday at the Greeley Stampede. Let's go caller number 17. Does that sound like a good number?
Caller, I mean, it sounds 17. Like a good number, but for callers? No, you're making me work.
Caller number 17, call the First Advantage Hotline, 970-353-1310. You're going to get a pair of tickets to go see Dierks Bentley coming up at the wonderful Greeley Stampede that kicks off today, Michael. Like, there's rodeo, concerts, nonstop. It is going to be a hell of a party, and I've got your chance to go see Dierks Bentley with Cole Goodwin coming up next Friday, July 3rd at 8 o'clock. So the Greeley Stampede. If you don't win tickets here, check them out online at greeleystampede.org for your best chance to get some deals on concerts, rodeos, all of that. And, of course, keep listening to KFKA for your chances throughout the next week and a half to win tickets. And also, Rodeo Radio begins tomorrow night with Brian Gary and Tanner Schwint. If you can't make it out to the rodeo, or if you just want to listen to the guys, even if you're at the rodeo, it is must listen. It's great radio.
Pray for great weather tomorrow.
Yeah, could be interesting. Could be interesting. All right, coming up next, we got the top story of the day. Keep it on the whole show. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.